Good evening, folks. Welcome to a Trade Week special on Big Footy Tiger Cast. It's day one of the Trade Week, and obviously we're going to feature quite heavily. Maybe we didn't so much today, but hopefully we do over the next few days, and it might roll into next week as well. Who knows what will happen? But EJ, welcome, mate. How's it going?
It's going fantastic. Trade Week, I mean, does it really have to be 10 days? But here we are. We're at the start. It's a long way to go. There'll be a lot of Werribee feeding to the system before we get to 7 p.m. next Wednesday night.
It's an interesting point that you make, because traditionally most of the stuff happens in the last 4 or 5 days, doesn't it?
Yeah, like
it's teams just standing off against each other for the first week, wasting everyone's time.
And the media feeding us with absolute rubbish.
Yeah, exactly. It was like an eagle.
Oh, that's Tiasta is one of the great Jack Graham men of our time.
Okay.
Which obviously we'll get to, so.
Yes, no, definitely. Now, a few people are noticing your kernel reference, so please explain. For those who don't quite understand what the reference is with your display picture, please fill everyone in.
Well, already with the free agency movements and the compensation that, to me, some of it's been absolutely boggling. Those secret herbs and spices that the AFL come up with to get these picks, they stay secret. I wish I could be in those meetings where they just... I'm almost certain there's no formula and they just sort of go, oh, she'll be right, we'll just give them this.
And it's fascinating, isn't it? Because for something that impacts every club, whether it's directly or indirectly, like people's picks are being shuffled down and things like that, you would think this would have to be a lot more transparent and everyone knows what's happening, whether you're support a club. Because like, it's not a matter of the clubs knowing, we don't as supporters. The clubs don't know either. They've got no idea. Yeah. So literally no one knows except for the people at AFL House. And it just seems crazy that something that impacts every team in some capacity,
yeah. And good isn't, luck to, yeah, and good luck to yeah. Saints and the Saints supporters. They'll be doing cartwheels, right? Because they've got pick in the top 10 for battle. I mean,
yep, pick 8, yep.
Band 1 compensation. So fantastic, good luck to them. But, I've heard a couple of ideas that don't strike me as being too bad in regards to, well, first of all, the best idea is when we get to a mature point in the competition where compensation doesn't exist for free agency. If you lose players, you lose players. You know, that's how it works in most things. But if we are going to have a compensation system, I've heard two schools of thought. I don't mind either of them. I particularly like one, right? Either you leave the full first round completely uncorrupted and then your compensation starts pick 19, or you leave the top 10 unaffected, because that's the 10 teams that didn't make the finals before traded picks, of course, right? But that top 10 is then uncorrupted. Both of those, go on.
Yeah. I'm all for that. The first one, leave the first round as is, because that's where you know, clubs try and set themselves up with top end talent. Yes. Yes. You get the proper reward if you're having a shit run of seasons or whatever it might be. So that way, that's not compromised. Like the first round's already compromised enough as it is with father, sons, academies. We don't need another third thing in there to make it even more convoluted.
Yep.
So I'm with you 100%. Make it from second round onwards.
So band one, instead of becoming first round, band one becomes end of first round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and tack on to the end. Yeah, yeah. Yes. Let every 18 clubs have their pick in order, whatever it might be, and then
so, through them. So the five places the draft picks are allocated at the moment are first round, end of first round, second round, end of second round, and third round. What we're saying is maybe you go to four and you shuffle back, and end of first round becomes the first one. And then second round, end of second round, third round, and it cuts off at four bands of compensation instead of five.
But, I think
ideally, ideally over time, though, I mean, we've had a situation where they're talking about the father sons and stockpiling picks not having as much effect from next year onwards, but they wanted to bring it in this year, right?
Yeah.
So they're phasing that out. Surely they can give us a timeline of 5 or 6 seasons and they can phase out compensation over time. Because realistically, compensation for free agents shouldn't exist.
Yeah, exactly. It's all over the shop. I'm keen to hear everyone's thoughts. What does everyone think we're going to get for Jack Graham compo-wise? So I think the only bit of information we know currently is that it was 4 years. I don't think anything's been reported about the monetary value at this stage. But if we just take some of these things into consideration from other free agency moves, that Isaac Cumming netted GWS an end of first round compensation pick, currently 21. There's nothing for that one for Nick Haynes. Harry Perryman got pick 16. You could probably say that Perryman's, would you say he's a better player than Graham? Possibly. Josh Bettle with pick 8. I think that's based on what he was paid, fair enough. Obviously, the comparison then becomes the Buddy Franklin saga. But what do we think is fair and reasonable for Jack Graham? Personally, people have cottoned onto it and saw the post from AFL Trade Radio. If the AFL had any decency about them, they would give us pick 2 because it also means that Damo will take himself off the airwaves. He said that if everyone latched on, opposition supporters are confused.
Yeah, let's start. I'm going to start a change.org petition. with the compensation, I've gone to the AFL website. The compensation formula produces a points rating for players based on 2 factors. The new contract of the free agent, the new contract. So theoretically, we could have offered Graham, say, and I'm not saying we would have offered him this, we could have offered him 700 over 4 years. Eagles might have offered him 550 a year over 4 years. The Eagles' offer of 550 a season would be the measured would be the measurement. So if he could, because he's unrestricted, he can restrict, he can reject the big offer from Richmond that would have netted Band 1 compensation, take the Eagles' low offer, and then we would have to take the low compensation.
Right.
So it all comes down to his age, and he's at the lower end of the age bracket, so that's a tick.
Yep.
25 or 26, right? That's a tick. The age and the money that Eagles are paying him.
Does ladder position come into it? And someone else mentioned that 6 years needs to trigger Band 1. Is that right? Has Isaac Cumming been offered 6 years? Is that – that can't be right, surely.
All right. Here's Dan17 has posted something, and I did hear this on radio. Battle got Band 1 because he's now in the top 5% in terms of wages. Well, if you're paying – Josh, and I wanted Josh Battle at Richmond, don't get me wrong, so this isn't a bash Battle thing. But if you're paying Josh Battle in the top 5% of your wages, your wage structure is messed up. That would be a fair comment, yes? If Battle came to Richmond, he wouldn't be in our top 5%, would he?
No, I suppose that depends on where the teams are at. Hawthorn obviously believe they're in a window, and it's probably worth the punt for them to overpay, because them getting Battle reshapes their forward line. I think Sicily can go forward. Lewis comes back. They've got Barras and Battle who can play defense. Battle can go forward. Like it actually makes them a lot more multidimensional. So I can see why they would take the punt. But for us,
Travis has extrapolated the point that I was saying. Yes, when I said the contract, it is the monetary part and the length of the contract. So it's both factors of the contract that are contributing, and your age. So he could be on a long contract, be on low money, and that would lower the compensation.
And will we find this out tomorrow? Does it happen that quickly, or is it going to be a few days? I'm not too sure how long it takes them to...
They've responded with a different length of time for the compensation with every one of the contracts so far. So
what I don't think this has any bearing whatsoever, but I hate that it's an overnight thing. I hate that it's seemingly in my head more time for them to discuss unofficially what to give us, not in the official time window of 9 to 5. I know that probably has no bearing, but that's just how my mind
There's a few people here saying we're going to find out tomorrow. So
10:20 a.m. I hear. 10:20 a.m.
10:20. Oh, we need a doozy. So first round obviously would be pick 2, which we're not going to get. End of first round would be about pick 25. Second round would be about pick 43 or something like that.
So we're looking at 25 or 43 realistically.
Pretty much.
Does 25 feel like overs if we were to get it?
Yeah, probably. Really.
And 43, does it feel unders? It's almost what we got him at, wasn't it?
We got him for 53, I think.
53, okay.
Yeah, look, I'm pretty confident it'll be 25. I'd be disappointed if it was 43.
I just still feel burnt from the Brandon Ellis one, so I don't hold out great hope that we'll get 25. David's locking in 25 as well, and I rate David's knowledge in mail as well. He's had some good stuff in the past.
Oh, there you go.
I hope you're right. And people loving your work as well. Hopefully he's on 900 with us paying for. This is the hope, Dave. This is the hope. And that's what, was it Mitch Cleary, I think, put up the proposal that, if they offer him 900 so we get pick 2, they get Baker for a packet of chips and we get picks 1 and 2, they don't lose their pick, but they still keep their Barras pick and everyone's a winner.
Yes, and I reckon that would be that would blow up the system and you can guarantee that. 100%. Right, but
it would get vetoed real quick.
Yeah, but that would not be the worst thing ever, is under their herbs and spices, they would have to pay the pick 2 if he got offered stupid money, 1.1 a year over 4 years or whatever, and we paid 500-600, whatever that, or 900, whatever it was. The I can guarantee you if it's spat out pick 2, that Riley Beveridge said 43. Wow. Oh, here we go. You said he's got good mail. There you go.
Well, hopefully, it's 25. That'd be nice. A lot of people still want pick 2 and Damo gone. I think that is the overwhelming consensus. That's what we would like. All right, a few other of our players are being targeted, which we've obviously known for a little while now. We'll just go through them one by one. Dan Rioli saga is still at play. We've obviously said that pick 6 is the bare minimum that you're going to have to offer up Gold Coast. I think our initial push is for 6 and 13, which I think we're fair enough to ask for. Oppositions, and I'll get to that. It's a separate argument. But it's that pick 13, everyone's going after it. Everybody. Yeah. So it sounds like Gold Coast language is that they're going to be dealing pick 13 first before they get to us. So I'm not sure what they think they're going to get away with offering. They must think by doing that they can give a 6 and 20 or whatever their second pick is. But yeah, that's going to be a fascinating one.
Yeah. I don't think, even with a contract in play. Oh, there you go. It's just a matter of what we're giving back to get that 3. I've lost my train of thought now after reading that. Can you repeat the question? Because
With the Rioli, how do we see it playing out with 6 and 13 versus 6 and 20?
Look, I don't think 6 and 13 is realistic. I don't. I think it's too much, even with a contract in play. I think it's too much. I would be happy with 6 and 20. I think that's probably still overs, but I think they need to pay overs. But I think
100%.
I think 6 and 13 is too much.
Is it though? The previous one, the best and fair. From our perspective, it might be. But if you're Gold Coast and Damien Hardwick, you're like, right, we need this piece of the puzzle to get into our first final series as a club. And they've said they don't need first-round draft picks. We'll be paying a large chunk. I suppose 6 for the player, in a contracted player, is probably fair. And I think us paying a large chunk of the salary is kind of then what buys into the pick 13. Maybe we flick them back some other token pick
as well. Well, that's our herbs and spices. We don't know how much, if any, we're going to offer to pay.
Yeah, surely. But I think if we were to ask for 13, I think realistically we would have to be offering up paying contracts. I don't think we would be that that naive to not do that, surely.
And Greg says there, I'd say 6 and 13 or we keep him. I'm actually at the point now where I'm okay. I'm bloody I'm grumpy with him. He's the only one I'm grumpy about. But I'm now at the point where, you know what? I've moved on. I'm okay.
I would still settle okay for 6 and 20. Like, I wouldn't – obviously, it's a worse result, but I wouldn't be totally unhappy either. Because maybe, for all we know, we could bundle that 20 and something else into something higher down the track. Like, it's not necessarily set in stone. But
what about 6 in the future first?
Yeah, that would be equally as good, I think. I think that would be would be acceptable. Yeah, but what I find funny is the amount of commentary from opposition supporters about Bolton and Rioli and what the expectations are for Trader. I think people severely underestimate how much a contract bumps up the price of a player. When a player's been handpicked by another club that they need him, we need him in our side to get us to the next level, then, and he's got 4 or 5 years left, you don't just get him for what the value would be if he was uncontracted. People have completely forgotten how this works, I feel like. But
yeah, well, and you also can't beat self-interest, right? So
for sure.
So we're looking at it from a Richmond point of view. The opposition players are just, the opposition fans on the wonderful world of big footy are just looking at the value of a player, and they're willfully ignoring the length of the contract, which is 4 years for Bolton and 3 years for Rioli.
Yeah, right? And the funny thing is, if we were talking about just the player in isolation, all those opposition supporters would probably actually be right. We would actually agree with them. But there's a vital bit of info missing from their train of thought.
6 and 20 if they take Tom Boyd. Boyd, mate, you've got a new fan.
So six and twenty, we realistically, would everyone in chat listening, would you all be, I know we'd want 6 and 13, but assuming that 13 goes somewhere else, would we all be happy with 6 and 20? Let us know in the comments. What about John Noble for 13? Now, if you thought we were being audacious, how about Collingwood?
Can I make a quick comparison, right? And I'll leave Noble out of it because, look, he's an okay player, but, yes, 13's ridiculous, right? A couple of years ago, Saab went from Essendon to Carlton. He was out of contract. Right, and it was pick 8 and pick 68 or whatever it was. It was pick 8 and scraps. And there was a pick swap later, but it's basically pick 8, right?
Yep.
If he's out of contract and he's pick 8, and we're talking about Saad from 3 or 4 years ago, not Saad now.
Yeah.
Right. That is what the price was. So that's like saying Rioli's worth about the same, so pick 6, pick 8, whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's where that pick 20 is the contract.
Yeah.
You know, so the extra piece, that's where it's the contract.
Yeah,
and that's
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, well, no, there we go. 6 and 20, it seems to be a fair bit of support there for that.
Yeah, people are getting behind that, which is good. Okay, so it's Noble and a Collingwood first pick. Okay. Well, you can tell us to lift a game if we want, but I don't really care too much about what Collingwood are doing. I just want to pick 13. If I saw it was off the table, I was wanting to know more about why. There we go. So they're first round of two. Anyway, still, Noble, if you're Gold Coast, you're wanting Rioli before you want Noble. They wouldn't want us to walk away if it meant they lost Rioli, surely. Shea Bolton is the other player, obviously very highly sought after by Fremantle. Well, he's sought after by Fremantle, but I don't know if he's officially said or picked a club one way or another. I think it's leaning towards Fremantle, but I don't know if West Coast is totally off the table yet. And this has been the beautiful thing about Bolton and Baker, that they've nominated states. Like, they haven't until very late in the piece when they found out McQualter was coaching and so on and so forth. Whereas I think for a lot of other players, you see very early days, it's, I want to go home, but I only want to go to this club. And then the club who had the players kind of got a gun to their head. So we've kind of been a little bit unlucky, a little bit lucky there. But obviously we're kind of hoping to get picks 10 and 11 from Fremantle for Bolton, which again, a lot of Oppo supporters probably think that's well overs. I think if you're a Fremantle supporter and you had Shea Bolton this year, you probably played finals. So how much do you value that? I don't know how much wriggle room there is going to be. Fremantle, I don't know if they're easy or hard to deal with. I'm not sure if anyone's got any views on that, but how do you think the Bolton one's going to play out?
I would be quite hopeful that we do get 10 and 11. Bolton has elite speed, elite evasive ability. He can play forward, he can play mid. He's got absolute X factor. He is what Fremantle have needed in the forward half. Yeah, you talk about playing finals. If they get him, they elevate themselves well into finals. And much like us, to us when we went and got Tom Lynch, right? We got Tom Lynch because that was the piece we needed. This is the piece that Fremantle need, right? It would be nice for them to get Warner next year, and he apparently wants to go back and all that. But they've got Sarong, Brayshaw, the blonde-haired bloke, Young. They've got a good midfield, right? They need Bolton. So that's why I'm confident that we will eventually get something close to what we're asking from the off.
And again, it's us paying a chunk of the contract piece as well. Bolton in isolation without a contract is probably worth one of those picks and maybe a second round. I don't know. But with the contract in play as well, that's where I suppose the second pick comes into it. A few people saying that Freo are typically stubborn. I tell you what, Cameron, if they come back with 10 and 20, I think we say thanks, but no thanks. I don't reckon that would get over the line. David reckons they're a long way down the track with Fremantle. Definitely 10 and 11 is in play in exchange for an early second. So we'll be Bolton, what, an early second from us for 10 and 11, and we're paying some of his contracts. I mean, no, it's not the worst. That's not the worst outcome, is it? For no. The access to the talent that's in this draft, I think you take that.
And here's the rub with the Fremantle supporters, right? So they've been saying 10 and 18. We've been saying 10 and 11, right? And if what David has said is right and it's 10 and 11 and we give an early pick, that's just the same as 10 and 18. Well, no, it isn't. But you make yourselves feel better.
And Nathan's got a good point as well, that with all the other selections and bullshit that go in between, that picks 10 and 11 is going to blow out to, 13 and 14 maybe, or whatever it might look like anyway.
Yeah. But that's okay because they're for players that we weren't going to have access to anyway.
Yeah.
They're different to compensation picks. So.
But, it's going to be interesting to see how that one plays out. But I think we're within our rights to dig our heels in. The beauty is that I don't think the players have flat out said we refuse to come back. I think there's that, not just with Richmond, but with any of these cases where there's a contract in play, there's got to be a level of understanding from the player and the player manager that if we don't get looked after, you're rocking up November 1 for pre-season here. Sorry, too bad.
100%.
So the onus is on the club that's trying to get you to come to the party without us being too over the top, I suppose. Wonder which deal will get done first. These two might drag out a little bit because of everyone's after Gold Coast pick 13. The Bolton one may happen sooner.
Well, the Baker one will be waiting on Hawthorn West Coast, so that'll probably be back end. I reckon we'll get Rioli done before Bolton.
Oof. Be cool. You mentioned Baker. That's the other one that's at play as well. Obviously, no contract in play with Baker. But even to his credit, he's come out and pretty much said, I just want the best deal for Richmond, obviously in a way of acknowledging us giving him a chance and the success we've had and so on and so forth. Obviously, he's since kind of picked West Coast on the back of Mini McQualter getting the head coaching job there. They've obviously got an existing relationship. So West Coast supporters, some people I've seen say to a future second rounder, third rounders, and I'm just bashing my head up against the wall. It's a real tricky one because the Barras pick is what, maybe pick 13 or 14. I don't know if that feels like overs for Baker in isolation, but I also don't. I think that their what's their next pick? Let me bring up my little spreadsheet. Their second pick is 26, which I don't know if that's unders for Baker. It's kind of, it's almost like it needs to be like a 17, 18, 19, but maybe that's what that brass pick gets to after all these things, bids take place.
Yeah. I think the first rounder is overs. I think 13 on its own is overs for Baker, but that's okay. I think a pick in the early to mid-20s is probably about right. We value him for what we, you know, his toughness and his attitude and his professionalism and his leadership and all that sort of stuff. But I think that if we were to put him out player by player of all the trades that had happened, I don't think that Baker's a pick in the mid-teens.
Yeah, it's a real, and it's like West Coast, that someone had a good point. Fremantle's probably actually got the perfect pick for him, being that pick 18 would actually probably be around the mark. But obviously, that's not West Coast pick. So that one, I reckon, might take a little bit longer to get. I don't think we're going to be going, late second rounders or anything like that. But we'll see what happens there. And Joan Dracen, this is a good point as well. And I think personally this will play out in some capacity, that I think us and maybe a few other clubs will make a play for Brisbane's round one pick by bundling up a series of picks to try and acquire that. I would hazard a guess that we're leading the way there if we're wanting to do that from a points perspective.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Oh, hello, Cameron. He can maybe
he might know the answer to that.
Yeah. Okay. Chris has just gone Rioli one will be last.
I can see the logic in that, just because of that, the sticking point of the pick 13. Well, there we go. David's just chiming with a heap of stuff tonight. Loving your work, David. We're getting home with selections. Richmond's goals to get Layla, O'Sullivan and Smith. Well, I don't know how we're going to. Yeah, I mean, does that mean haven't West Coast and North both said their first round picks are up for grabs? I know clubs say that every year if the right deal comes up, but it's like, do we end up with enough currency to try and entice them into splitting that pick into something a bit higher in that first round?
Well, if what David was saying was right before, and I know it has been, I know that. Clark, the West Coast list manager, sort of did intimate that it had been talked about, the pick three scenario.
Yep.
If we were able to get three for one of the two Bolton picks with Baker and have 1-3-6, I reckon we'd be happy with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, most definitely.
And I think we could then hit two out of those three targets that we want, no dramas.
Yeah. Because I suppose the assumption then lies around that if we don't think North Melbourne's going to take a certain player that we're after just because of what they've already got on their current list. So, that's I suppose, I've always believed, though, the top 10 picks of a draft, I firmly believe that all clubs already know who everyone's taking long before draft or either on draft night or the week leading up. They can't not know. I can't imagine a world where there's surprises from the clubs within that top 10 going, oh, shit, I didn't know that was going to happen. I just feel like they would speak too much. But to Jones's point as well, this is what I'm all about. Brisbane, we're going to bundle up some picks for you. You give us your first rounder and we won't bid on Ashcroft for you, so you don't have to spend as much. There's a bit of a good gesture of goodwill for you. I will not be shocked if that's how it plays out.
What is I'm going to do some quick maths while we're here. What is Brisbane's current first rounder?
Brisbane's current first rounder. So they've got 20, 59, and 72.
20, rightio. Yep. I've got the little calculator out.
Oh, your points calculator?
Yeah.
So Cameron says, Brisbane's first and Gold Coast pick 13 are being auctioned off. Whatever's the most beneficial deal for themselves is what they'll take. Surely our handshake agreement gets us over the line here. Well, I'm with you, John. I'm with you, mate. I reckon that us not bidding on Ashcroft is a very enticing little side deal to get that over the line.
Yep, right. So just using the points calculator quickly.
Yep.
Pick 20 is worth 912 points.
Okay.
Pick 42 is worth 395. Pick 44 is worth 362, et cetera, et cetera. If yep. we were to give them, and I know they've probably shuffled down a peg or two, but if we gave them 42, 44, 50, and 60, for instance,
yep.
that gives them about a 200-point bank. Like we've paid extra, we've paid an extra 200 points to get that pick 20, because the bundle up of later picks will always be worth more than the pick that you're getting.
Yeah.
Because you're buying the higher position in the draft. So we would give Brisbane positive 200 points with those four picks that I just said. And that would be like something like that would be the offer for pick 20.
For pick 20. And David, I know Hartley did say that we are prepared to bid on Ashcroft, and maybe it's a bit of smoke and mirrors behind the windows, Travis Cloak style, just to set the fear of God into Brisbane. Yeah. And then when we're like, oh, no, well, if you give us this, we won't. Oh, okay, no worries.
We're prepared to bid on Ashcroft unless you give us your first rounder.
Yeah, we're just going to blackmail teams. Who cares? Just do what we have to do. Just get it done. I think that's it from the players that are being chased from us. There's no one else we've missed, have we? Well, there's still a couple of unknowns. I suppose players like Camden McIntosh is a bit of an unknown still. Yeah. I don't know if Noah Cumberland's been offered anything else. Coulthard, Dow, there's still quite a few names that I know there's still multiple list lodgement dates to come, but everyone's been pretty tight-lipped about what's happening with some of those players.
Yeah, yeah. Look, you'd probably expect we still hang on to one or two of them and another one or two are let go. As to who it is, might come down to what people are prepared to play for versus our needs, versus culture, versus, yeah.
Mm.
I think I can't see all four being cut. I think a couple of them will keep this.
No, I don't think we can either. And I suppose sort of that sort of ties into Nathan's question a little bit, which why haven't we delisted any players? I think because we've had so many leave and trade and retire and injuries that there's actually been no need to make those list cuts at this stage.
Yeah. We have the space.
Yeah, so there's been no actual need to force anyone out the door because we lost so many due to other various reasons. So some may get the tap on the shoulder at some point. Cameron reckons Cumberland will depend on how many hybrid midfielders and high half forwards we take. Will he get games though? It's still the interesting thing, isn't it? Richmond is still keen on Sarstis. Dow needs to stay. I'm still in the keep Dow camp. I know I'm probably in the minority, but I thought he did well in the role he wasn't expected to play. I thought he showed he could do backup midfielding quite well. But anyway, that's another argument for a different day. Unless you want to back me up, then you can support me.
Yeah, and I did. Hartley also said in his 2 minutes 15 of saying nothing today,
he hates it.
Yeah, but I think behind the scenes, you've got to get your own reading out of it. And from what I could read behind the scenes is there's a couple of minor players that we might be in for if everything else goes to plan.
Well, hopefully we've got the capital to get a couple of... Realistically, it feels like we do need a couple of older bodies to maybe come in and help, you know, bear the load a little bit. You don't want to expose all these youngsters that are about to walk into the club, throw them completely to the wolves, but... I think it's in Blair we trust, as the catchphrase has gone for the last few years. That's probably it on trade and draft stuff. Now, I've seen a few questions come through, and I probably should have said it at the start, but in terms of a Tiggs update, he's doing well. He's in good spirits, but as part of a new bout of his treatment, and I just want to say up front that he did say I was allowed to speak about this. So I'm not saying something I shouldn't, so no one panic. So as part of his new treatment, he has to get, I think it's about 30-odd injections into his head once a month to sort of help with the cognitive function of his brain and things like that. So basically, if he was to talk off the cuff and ad-lib everything, it would be, he's usually pretty good, but when he has to sort of read stuff and think about it, it can kind of sort of throw him off a little bit. So he just doesn't feel up to or comfortable to jump on and do a show just yet. And he's obviously wanting to focus all his time and energy into his health, which we completely agree with and understand. So Tiggs, if you do listen, mate, we obviously hope you're getting better quicker, and he's always welcome back anytime that he's available. A few people have been mentioning the best and fairest night. Now I missed a lot of it because I was out, but firstly, congratulations to Dan Rioli for winning the best and fairest. Yeah. I think a lot of us thought it was probably going to be him or maybe have lost, and it just comes down to that they played the most games. They played well. I don't want to take away from that, but playing the amount of games that they played definitely helped. So a couple of points, I suppose, for me. Firstly, I appreciate and respect both club and player for turning up and inviting them to turn up. So that goes to Dan Rioli, Bolton and Baker. I would have been bitterly disappointed if we had pulled a St Kilda and not invited them, or if they had to decline the invitation after everything we've been through together as a club and supporter base. So that's really good. But then a few people were questioning, I suppose, some of the speeches or thank yous from these players. I personally haven't heard it, so I'm not going to really make comment on it. But did you watch him? Do you have any thoughts on it at all, EJ?
Oh, Bakes could have had a beer or two less before he spoke, I suppose.
Is that right? I saw mixed reports on that.
But, and in regards to John O'Rourke and, you know, his apparent backhander of the players for praising Broad's loyalty, and I've seen a lot of very split thoughts on that. Some yes, some no. I'm okay with it. I would have been disappointed if he had have specifically named anyone leaving and said something negative about them. But you know, a couple of them we think are leaving probably at the wrong time, and to emphasise someone who knocked back a big offer from North Melbourne to stay and to say how proud you were of them and make a focal point of that. Yes, it is a bit of a shot across the bow to the others, but I think it's a good focus on someone doing something for the right reasons. And Brody, when he signed his new contract, you know, he actually said probably 3 weeks ago, a month ago, whatever it was, on a podcast he did, you know, like, oh, I was a plumber, you know, and I was 22, 23 years old. Get stuffed, CB. you know, I'd still be plumbing if it wasn't for Richmond. And, you know, we had some great times. And what would it look like now if I cut and run? Mm. So I think it sort of goes back on the comments that Broad made himself. So I was okay with it, but I do understand how some people got a bit cheated.
Yeah, I think I'm glad he didn't do what you said. I'm glad he didn't name and shame the ones who were leaving. Maybe he could have evened it out by thanking those who were leaving for their service as well at the end of the speech as well, because I think that's still an important part to acknowledge, that whether we like them leaving or not, they were still part of the success that we've had. I think we're in our right to be shitty about them leaving. I think that's okay. And I think what he said about praising Broad and it being a swipe was fine, but I think he should have also thanked him, yes, for their service as well at a later stage if that wasn't done. But
no, that's fair point.
The other thing I got from that, from just reading comments from the night, was how well Broad spoke. A lot of people were even saying that Broad, in terms of the way he carried himself, would be good captaincy material.
I've been on the Broad wagon for a while in this respect. He's ultra impressive. I actually thought when we had, after the first premiership, and we had a couple of little hiccups there, that I thought, oh, geez, you know, he must be some sort of bogan. But he carries himself extremely well. I'm very impressed. I would have zero issue if he was captain next year.
Do we think, and keen to hear everyone's thoughts in chat on this as well, do we think there will be a changing of the guard with captaincy? Has Nank, I mean, running his course is probably not really a fair term because it's been a short term, but do we think that there's a better option?
Yeah, look, I think there is a better option. I think Broad is a better option. What have we got here?
Which one? That one?
Look, I really rate the way Broad carries himself. I rate the way Taranto carries himself. So I think there are a couple in the right age bracket that could be good. Broad would. Yeah, look, if it was Broad vice captain, Taranto captain, I'd be not unhappy. If it was Broad captain for 1 or 2 years, handing over to Taranto, I'd be also happy. I'm not hung up on that either way, but I'm a massive, massive advocate for Broad after what I've seen. Okay, yeah, doesn't want to be captain. There you go.
Interesting. And some players don't. Some players are very good at speaking and leading and doing all that stuff, but don't want the official title, which is completely fine too.
Look, let's not get ahead of ourselves, Damien, but I would also be right behind a Finn O'Sullivan and Sam Lala dual captaincy role.
Damien's just gone straight into the young fellas captain.
I'm behind that.
The other thing is probably worth saying as well that even though Nank's maybe not the best public speaker, and that probably impacts us as supporters who watch things, as for me, as long as he's good at leading and being vocal at the club and doing the right things there for the players to lead them, that's probably all that ultimately matters. And that's something we'll probably never, ever know or be able to get a gauge on, I guess. As CB jumps in after he puts a flight drive-by comment in chat. How are you, mate?
The only reason I come on was the fact that EJ abused me. So I thought, he's on today. He's on.
I'm going to be too busy. I'm not going to make it.
I've literally just got home from the sauna sweating my nuts off. So, yeah. It's with the glow.
Yeah, well, that's why you should have the robe on.
Yes. How is everybody? Everyone good?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, look, I think Nank is a really good leader. There are some that get upset by the occasional stupid act he does, but when you're talking about fierceness and competitiveness on the field, I don't think there's a ruckman out there that is any harder than Nank. So,
would you change Captain CB or would you leave it with Nank?
Nah, change him.
Who are you changing to?
The only reason I wouldn't do Nathan Broad is just because of his age. I think from what I'm hearing with Tim Taranto and his work behind the scenes, I wouldn't be upset if Tim Taranto had become our captain. I think he'd be okay.
Very good. No, that's fair enough. There was something else I saw today that made me laugh about us. I don't know where the article came from, whether it was Fox Footy, whether it was the AFL or what it was, but it was in relation to, will Adam Uze survive the rebuild?
Oh, I saw it on Twitter and I went straight past it. It was bloody Tom Morris on SEN this morning.
It was Tom Morris. Thank you. Yeah. It was Tom Morris. Yeah.
But you know what? I didn't hit the button. I didn't click. I moved past it.
Well, can Adam Uze survive the rebuild, because his thought process was, if next year if we only win 2 or 3 games and the year after we only win 3 or 4 games, that statistically speaking the coaches don't get offered extensions after that. Now, in a normal environment, he's probably got something there, but if you're a reasonable, logical person, this year and all the shit that happened, it can't be counted as a year for him.
You just said reasonable, logical person. And then you said it was Tom Morris. Can we just start again?
No, so if you were him, he's not on that front. No, that's, yeah. For me, and we've been pretty vocal about it, that this year was a mulligan, essentially.
How good's that?
Nanks potentially. Oh, there you go.
Stuff like that is fantastic.
So we've worked out the Tiger imposter. He's actually an AFL media accredited journalist. Okay, we just confirmed it.
Oh, jeez.
Just a drive-by. Oh. It's shit, Tiger imposter. So, next one.
No, sorry. That's not good enough.
That's I didn't say I was above it. So the next one is how about the talk of Tom Lynch being linked to Brisbane from journalists? Have you seen, even 3AW went with that one. Have you seen that?
I saw it and I didn't click. I've been very focused. Very focused.
I feel like that just happened as a 1+1=3 scenario that Joe Danaher left, so who's another big forward? Tom Lynch. Well, but I think that didn't the club pretty much today, didn't Blair Hartley say in his interview that Lynch is not being traded? It just doesn't make sense anyway.
But put it this way, why wouldn't you, if you're going to make up shit, wouldn't you just target, say, like Harry Mackay from Carlton? Wouldn't that make more sense? If you're going to stir crap up, wouldn't you go Harry Mackay, 27 or whatever he is? That would be the ideal age.
But which supporter base bites the best?
Yeah.
We bite the best. We bite. So
he said it to himself.
Stop clicking the links. Stop giving them what they want. If you don't click it, you'll hear it from somewhere else half an hour later anyway. Just don't click it. Don't monetize these dumb thoughts.
But then I wouldn't be able to use my work experience kid joke in charge of Twitter.
No, Lynch won't go anywhere. There's
Can we just replace? Never can, we just, in that. Can we just replace me or preferably CB with David? Because he's got all the good info. He's making a hell of a lot more sense. He's in no way abusive.
David's been.
Yeah, no, I don't. No, I really don't.
And the other funny one from the best and fairest before we finish up was, and like someone made a really good point. Tom Morris somehow manages to get a question into Dusty, and instead of praising him about his career or whatever, it was you going to the Gold Coast, and happily retired. So hopefully that now puts this whole bullshit saga to bed. I've still said all along, I'll be gobsmacked if he ends up playing for the Suns, and even more so now that Dusty has said that himself. I just don't see him going back on saying. I know that was a passing comment, but Dusty's typically a man of his word with that kind of stuff, and it's never made sense in playing there, and I just can't see it happening.
Well, I sent you guys a screenshot of what even Gold Coast said as late as today with regards to Dustin Martin.
I don't listen to what you like, send me.
If you just keep talking, he said, okay, so this is in Trade Radio. He said, Dustin's own words were that he's happily retired. I don't think it's for our footy club to add to that narrative. And that's from Craig Cameron. So,
and that's exactly how it should be. And he's not playing there. So,
right. So the Ox.
Oh, Phil.
Fev.
Yes.
Tom Morris.
McClure.
Damian Barrett. Sam McClueless. Right. All of these clowns. McClure in particular. That's about 6 or 7 years in a row.
Years. Yes. Years. Right,
years. Every year. Dusty Gold Coast. Dusty. Can we now just put a line through it? Stop. And if we can't put a line through it, people out there, don't click the links.
Wait, people are saying they don't, as in again recently today. Like I know the Ox doubled down after the retirement. Have they since gone again? Have they? Surely not. They can't be that bad. My goodness.
A question for you. Have you guys covered off the coaching appointments?
No.
Okay. Stephen Morris, I'm so amongst all the gloom and things we've been potentially talking about. Stephen Morris, so happy that Morrow's got a gig in the senior coaching ranks. He's deserved it. 3 years running his own team. Magnificent appointment. And really, really happy that we got Blake Carousella back. It's actually been a very good, solid start to the offseason already, getting those two guys back into the senior ranks, my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, there was one other subject to cover and someone's brought it up. Sci-Fi Genetics has brought it up in the comments. Right. Did you see how slow Meatball went in the grand final sprint?
Yes.
I didn't, but I'm glad he didn't go fast, put it that way.
I'll tell you what. there'd be a few of our listeners that would have had a chance to cover the line against him. He was last by panels.
Gee, that is still the most mind-boggling decision that we've made for quite some time. I thought I was being trolled when I had that sent to me. Yeah.
Can I just say, Jake Batchelor being appointed the VFL coach.
Welcome to Jake Batchelor. Welcome back.
That's an excellent appointment as well in the VFL. There's a rumour 2 years in Traralgon, 2 years ago at Traralgon, he was actually going to be the senior coach at Traralgon, Jake Batchelor. And I was so excited if that was going to be true, but even happier he's rocked up back to Richmond. So I think tremendous.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm waiting. I've only been taking it for 2 days. I'm waiting for the Telfast to kick in. I'm having a shocking day today.
This time of year, yeah.
Oh, horrible. So bad. I just keep having to switch my nose. The fitness guy or gal, have we had anything apart from an ab on Seek?
It's the secret. The secret.
Yeah, no, I've not heard any more. It sounded like, yeah, I mean, from Grok's source was that there was a point in time where as a club we thought we were good with, I always get confused, is it Burgess from Adelaide?
Burgess.
Yeah. And I think he thought he was a good chance as well in Adelaide of, you know, rightfully, because they've got a contract in play, dug their heels in and said, no, sorry, you're not going, and that's up to them to do. But yeah, I've not heard of any other potential targets at this stage. Not sure if anyone else has heard anything out there.
So I'll ask you two boys, who's your rumour for number one draft pick? Have you covered that yet?
Oh, no, because I always get torn on the answer. I'm still thinking, about O'Sullivan, but then you start seeing mixed reports about Layla. Obviously, Jager Smith was up there for a while. That's now kind of slipped a little bit. I truly don't know.
So what I've heard is it's still Foss at this stage. That's what I've heard.
Yep. I heard he had Delidio poster on his wall as well.
Everyone else is saying Foss as well. Layla at three. Who else? Who else would people be willing or hoping that we take for number one pick? Langford's the other name that's come up. Is Langford the Richmond supporter?
Langford's going to be an absolute bolter for sure.
One of them was a Richmond supporter. I'm not sure which one it was.
Well, even Smiley's saying he's happy to come to Tigerland.
Well, his name's kind of just slipped off the list as well.
It has slipped a bit, hasn't it? Yeah.
Like, I haven't heard him mentioned for a long time. A long, long time. Foss is Finn O'Sullivan, Cameron. Sorry, Finn O'Sullivan. Langford was. Thank you, Nicholas. Yeah. Langford was.
I'm thinking, is it Langford? North or into Langford, aren't they? Supposedly?
Yeah. I don't know. There you go. So Cameron, Cameron reckons Foss and Layla / Jagger.
Yeah.
We just can't get it wrong. We can't get it wrong. We're not sure, Isaac. It's still on Seek. No, we're not too sure who's in the box seat for that. Someone else made a good point as well. A shout out to our AFLW team who probably barred the first game against West Coast where they probably really should have won but kicked themselves out of it drastically, have had some pretty good performances the last few weeks. So the AFLW team is kicking goals, so to speak, which is really good. I'll tell you what, whenever you watch it, Mon Conti kicks the ball differently to everybody else out there. She is an unbelievably gifted footballer.
We probably could have used her during the season without injuries.
Could have brought her in. All right. I think that is a wrap for tonight. So we obviously have the draft show coming up on the 21st of October, which is two Mondays away with Cameron. Cameron will be faceless. He's keeping his face anonymous, which is fair enough. But
is he going to have a voice like that as well?
Voice disguise. I don't know. But no, I don't know.
Balaclava. Make it look like one of those drug shows.
Have a Tism poster on the wall behind him.
And Tism dropped a new song.
Yeah, they did. Put the Tism poster up behind him and then have the Tism mask on in the front. That'd be brilliant.
So, yeah, Cam Hicks will be on in a couple of weeks with, I'm assuming, a few other of the regulars as well to go through a heap of draft stuff. We'll do one next week as well because, obviously, trade week will be heating right up and we may know some more confirmed deals by next week with the Tigers as well that we can talk about too, which would be good. But, hopefully... yeah, hopefully we can manage to jag some of these high-end picks and cash in. So it's going to be a lot of interesting things to play out over the next couple of days.
Oh, the new deep throat.
Oh, Jesus. There you go. It's going to have a helium voice changer. But thanks for joining us tonight, EJ and CB, for the late jump on. Much appreciated. Thank you to everybody for tuning in. It's an interesting time with the draft and the trades and things like that. And hopefully we can land the picks we want and we draft the players we need. So we will see you all Monday night for another trade update. Until then, have a good night and go Tigers.
Come on, the doozy. It's happening.
Yeah, get that doozy.